know, you asked this morning what we had heard about the kingdom before we come here, and the best I remember is that it was more or less taught that the kingdom was out yonder in the future. That's best. I forget things, but that's best I remember. But I'd like to talk this morning a little bit about the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. Matthew chapter 20 has some verses here to read. Beginning in verse 1, it says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, I will give you. And they went their way. Again he went out about the sixth hour and ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle, and said unto them, Why stand ye here all the day idle? They said unto him, Because no man have hired us. He saith unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. Our Lord here speaks in parables, but anyway, our Lord compares the kingdom of heaven to that of a householder, which went out different times of the day to hire laborers to do work in his vineyard. I'd like to try to point out some things and bring out some things here this morning about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. A lot of people have this idea that this is two different kingdoms, but it is one and the same kingdom. It just depends on who is doing the writing, whether it's called the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven, and who they're writing to. The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, as I've already said, is one and the same kingdom. It tells us in Romans 14 and verse 17, For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Brother Dan brought out this scripture this morning in Sunday school. Bible tells us that the kingdom of God doesn't come from observation. You can't say, well, here it is or there it is. But it is within us. It is among us. To enter into the kingdom of God, though, you must be born again. To have a part of the kingdom of God, you must be born again. Jesus told Nicodemus in the third chapter of John, except a man be born again, he cannot even see the kingdom of God. Now, this kingdom is made up of kingdom of priests. Well, if you're a child of God, you're a priest to God. It tells us in Revelation 1, verse 6, that he, or Jesus, hath made us kings and priests unto God. What's the purpose of a priest? Is that not to serve and worship the Lord God? That's what we are to do. We're to worship him. We worship him for who he is, for what he is, for what he done for us. He has blessed us in so many ways. We should sing praises to his name for what he has blessed us for, how he has blessed us. In Matthew 13 and verse 44, it referred to as a treasure, a precious treasure, that once one has found it, becomes the most important thing in one's life. It said again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a treasure hid in the field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. I'm going to give you an example. The Apostle Paul. He was a Pharisee. He knew the law. He kept the law. But he fought against the Lord and his church. He had Christians bound, probably some of them were killed. But when the Apostle Paul met the Lord, his life changed. And you know what? He counted everything else in this world. He counted as done, worthless. He found that treasure. And he spent forth the rest of his life serving the Lord. But the kingdom of God is made up of those that have been born from above. If you've been born from above, you can call God your Father, for that's what He is. He is our Heavenly Father, and we're a part of that kingdom. There may be some of the children of God that don't understand that they are a part of the kingdom, but it is a special kingdom. And we know that God rules over this universe. God always has, always will. But the kingdom of heaven is a called out kingdom. It's a special kingdom. It's a never ending kingdom. It's chosen out of this universe to be delivered up unto God at the last time. In 1 Corinthians 15, verses 22 through 26, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. If you're in Christ, you've been made alive. You've been quickened. That spiritual, that second death has no power over you because you are spiritually alive. You're alive eternal. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterwards they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end when he shall deliver up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he have put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. There is coming a time the kingdom of God is now, is present, it is among us, it is within us. God's people make up that kingdom. But there's coming a time it's going to be delivered up to the Father at the last day when death is destroyed, when all enemies are put under and put down. And I believe the household here is symbolic of God our Father. You don't ever get it in your head unless you sought out God for salvation, because you didn't. God sought you. Actually, if the truth is that you run from God. We're just like Adam and Eve. When God came into the garden, into their presence, they hid. But that is man in his lost, depraved state. They don't seek God. They run. They hide. At the end of the world, you know what does it say about mankind? They're going to cry for the rocks and the mountains to fall on to hide them from the presence of God. That is lost people. But it tells us in Romans 3, 10 through 11, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. Store down there at Watson, they have to fill out a report, keep record of the amount of gas they buy. The amount of gas they sell, they have to go out and they run a stick down into their tanks and they put this stuff on the end of this stick. I don't know what it's called, but anyway, if there's any water in their tank, it turns a different color. It'll let them know it's got water in their tank. And this report that they fill out, or these records they have to keep, there's a place, amount of water. Well, the guy that owns the store, he's new at it. He wrote none. Is that when there's no water in your tank, does that not mean none? EPA guy comes along and he chews him out. You put none down here. Well, there ain't no water in my tanks. You put 0.0. Same thing. What's so hard to understand about none, though? There's none that seeketh after God. It's God that does the seeking. Once, when one can say, well, I sought God, it's because you've been quickened inside and that Holy Spirit within you draws you to seek God. not only did we not seek God out in a depraved state, but God does not need us. We need him. See, God needs no one. He is complete in himself. God didn't save us because he needed us. He saved us because he had compassion on us. He saved us for his praise and glory. It was said, this TV preacher, well, I heard this, and that wasn't said of him. I heard him say this on the radio, that there were thousands going to hell every day because people wouldn't send him money to go preach to them. And I thought at the time, that, well, he thinks pretty highly of himself. See, God doesn't need us to preach. God uses us to preach. God calls us to preach. God calls you for his call. If he saved you, he's called you for a purpose. But where was the preacher when God spoke to Adam? Who was it spoke to Adam? Noah. Who spoke to Noah? Who called Noah? God spoke to Noah. I want you to go build this ark. I'm going to destroy the world. Abraham. God spoke to Abraham. Now, God does this day and time. He speaks to us through his holy word. He speaks to us through preachers. But he can speak to one. You don't have to have a preacher. He can save one in some God-forsaken country, no matter where. Galatians 3 and verse 8 says, in the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, and they shall all nations be blessed. Now, I don't want you to get me wrong. We are to go and preach the gospel. And God may use us and can use us to bring one to the knowledge of what Jesus has done for them, for all those that believe. But what we are doing when we preach the gospel is simply informing them of what Christ has done for them. We're not saving them. God saves. Now, yes, we tell one, we try to teach them, but when they are saved, they're to forsake sin and turn to Christ. They are to put the flesh down and follow the Spirit. But it tells us in 2 Timothy 1, 8 through 10, that says, Paul speaking to Timothy here, though, says, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling. Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who have abolished death and have brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. It's the gospel that brings to light what Jesus done for you. The hiring of laborers. I've already said God doesn't need us to accomplish his purpose. He spoke this universe into existence without man's help. He has a multitude of angels to go and do his bidding. He can and does as he pleases. None can stay his hand. But Job asked this question in Job 7 and verse 17. What is man that thou shouldest magnify him and that thou shouldest set thy heart upon him? Yeah. Preacher once mentioned that one said that I just don't see how God could hate Esau. That's what God's word says. Esau have I hated. Jacob have I loved. The question is, how could God love me? Is this not what Job was saying when he asked, "What is man that thou should magnify him? What have I done? How could God, I know what I've done, I've sinned against a holy and righteous God. How could God love me? How could God set his heart on me? How could he have compassion on me?" That's the question. See, God doesn't need us. We need him. We needed saving. We needed forgiveness for our sins. We needed to be made alive once again. Now, after God has quickened us, what are we doing? Are we standing idle in the marketplace? You see, life without Christ, it has no meaning. It has no purpose. It's idle. I've always heard that the idle mind is the devil's workshop. That's what a lost man is. He is an idle soul in this world, not capable of understanding that he serves Satan. But thanks be to God, he gave his son the power of sin debt. He has set us free from the power of Satan. He has a purpose for us. That purpose is that we might have a fulfilled life here in this world. We were saved to serve God. God called you to salvation. God has called you to service. The problem is that a lot of times we don't seek what the Lord would have us to do. That was not the case with Paul, as I've already mentioned in Acts 9 and verse 6, "And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." Where do we find the answers? The Spirit spoke to Paul and told him to go into the city, and it'd be told him what to do. So where do we find the answer? Are we to go in down here in Mena and somebody gonna tell us what to do? We find answers in God's Word. That's why Sunday school is so important. Now, we can learn things of God at home, but we can learn so much more when we're gathered together and being taught Sunday school, when we're gathered together in church assembly. See, here is where the Lord has promised to meet with us. Here is where the Lord has promised to guide and direct us. But the answers are in God's Word. A lot of people asking this question, well, where'd we come from? Well, where'd you? You want to know where you come from? It tells us in Genesis. God created us. Who has called us to salvation? God's Word tells us. God called us. What are we to do? Well, the first thing we're to do is believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you can believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, then God has quickened you into your heart. Because only those that have been quickened can believe. Who paid our sin debt? God's Word tells us. Jesus did. So what is our purpose? Are we to sit idle in our benches? We're to serve God. We're to glorify him. He saved us for that purpose, for his praise and glory. You're a child of God, what's your eternal destiny? Some believe you can lose your salvation. If you're a child of God, your eternal destiny is to be with Jesus forever in paradise. See, God had compassion on us. Tells us that in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." God called us to salvation. A call to salvation is also a call to follow the Lord in baptism and to serve him in his vineyard. If you've been quickened, I can assure you that you've been called to follow the Lord in baptism. It's following the Lord in baptism that puts us in a position in good standing before God to serve Him and His church. If you've been quickened, He calls you not only to follow the Lord in baptism, but He calls you to join one of the local New Testament churches, called out assemblies. A lot of places in this world that have the name church written over the door, but not all of them are the Lord's churches. So how do you know which one is the Lord's church? Well, you find a church that sticks to the truths of God's word. You find a church that God has called you to join and serve Him through. All down through the ages, God has had a remnant of people. He has had a called out people, a local assembly. And you may, down through the dark ages, it may be hard. Well, here's one. There's one. They may be hard to spot, but God has always had a remnant and a church in this world. I personally believe that the vineyard of the Lord is, now this world is His vineyard, but we are His local church, I believe, is His vineyard as to where we are to serve Him through. Now, I'd probably get different answers to this question if I ask, what is the vineyard of the Lord? But in the Old Testament, Isaiah 5 and verse 7 says, the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah His pleasant plant, His called out people, His chosen people. Today I believe the vineyard of the Lord is His church, but it is in and through His church that we are to work. Now, we work not for salvation, but our salvation is the motive that we work. Each one of us has a purpose. Each member here makes up this local body. No, it saddens my heart when I come here on Sunday night, Wednesday night, and so many pews are empty. If you look around, most of us have a special place to sit. When you look over and that place is vacant, it means that person's gone. They're not here. We make up the body of Christ, though, in this local assembly. We are a body. It tells us in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 27, now you are the body of Christ and members in particular. A body has a head. Christ is the head. The Holy Spirit is the heart. The members make up the body. A body has many different parts. Each part is important. And has four fingers and a thumb. Sister Linda got up here and she only had one finger. It'd be hard to... I ain't saying that she couldn't play the piano, but it would be hard. You sit down at a typewriter, yes, you can type out a letter with one finger, but it's so much easier when you know where the letters are and you know what each finger is. No matter what our position is here in the Lord's church, we are to exalt the Lord and His church. Each one of us as a member in this church has a ministry. That is to exalt Jesus Christ through His church in whatever ability that we've been given. Now, Brother Neil back there, he has never meets a stranger, I don't reckon. Always friendly. He can talk to people. You've been around me, you know I don't have much to say. Sometimes I think maybe that's a blessing, because when I open my mouth, sometimes I stick my foot in it. But if you can do nothing else but pray, you can pray. You can pray for those that are doing something, that God will give them the strength and the grace. You can pray for our young people, that God will save them. There's something to do for each and every one. I've seen those that would give to the church and designate what they give to go for some special purpose. A lot of times the people, someone will have their home burnt, death in the family. Somebody want to donate, that's good. But you know, when you give it to the church and designate it to go through the church, you know who gets the praise? No, you walk up and hand somebody a $100 bill, $10 bill, whatever. Here, this will help you. Who's getting the praise? But if it goes through the church, the Lord's getting the praise. His church is getting the praise. Here in verse 7 says, go ye also in the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall you receive. The Bible speaks of many different crowns. There's a crown of life, there's a crown of joy, there's a crown of righteousness, there's an incorruptible crown. You have these crowns. Crown of life. Have you been quickened in Christ Jesus? Do you not have a crown of life? You've been given eternal life. Crown of glory. Child of God, is he not also joint heirs with the Lord? Will we not share in his glory when we go home? Crown of righteousness. We stand before God in the righteousness of Christ. That's the only way that we can stand before God. We must be clothed in his righteousness. Incorruptible crown. What does the Bible say about that which is born of God? That spirit within, it can't be corrupted. It can't sin. Now, yes, we do sin in the flesh, but that Holy Spirit within sinneth not. I believe if you're a child of God, you have each and every one of these crowns. I believe they're symbols of what we have in Christ. So what is a reward for our service in the Lord's church? Is it not the fruit of the Spirit? Tells us in Galatians 5:22-23 that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. What does the Bible say about love? We love him because he first loved us. You love God? Well, how do I know I love God? I love the Lord's church. How do I know I love the Lord's church? Because I love my brothers and sisters in Christ. Joy. A lot of people are looking for joy, but they look for it in worldly things. I dread getting up here. Always fear in the back of my mind of saying something wrong. But there's a joy that I have after I have gotten up here. In Christ Jesus, there's peace. God has made peace. Or Christ has made peace between us and God. It's long-suffering. Sometimes brethren do something that shouldn't have done. That means that we are to fly off the handle and disown him. We should be long-suffering. Was God not long-suffering to us? Gentleness. I believe God's people are gentle. Goodness. Only good that we have is that is that what is in us of God. Our faith, that comes from God. Meekness, humbleness, and then temperance. Probably that, to me, a lot of Christians' downfall is their temper. They lose it so often, so quick. Then it gives all Christians a black mark. The reason I mention that, I know a man heard rumors that his wife was getting a divorce. Anyway, I seen him the other night, and I asked him rumors. I've been hearing rumors. That's all I said. They're true. Said she walked off and left me. Said she said there wasn't another man, but 2 weeks later she moved in with another man. Said supposed to have been a good Christian man. Well, any time a Christian does something in that sense, and it is sin, most people characterize Christians, all Christians are that way. You have a preacher fall, well, all preachers are that way. When we sin, we not only sin against our Lord, we harm ourselves, we harm our brothers, we black mark our church. The Lord's kingdom is not something that you can see, but you can't see the wind. You can see the dust in the wind. You can see the results of the wind. And when somebody begins to rejoice in being in the Lord's kingdom, when somebody such as Paul has found that precious pearl and see them turn their life over to the Lord and count everything else as done, then you can see the results of being in that kingdom. Amen. Only way in this world that we're going to truly have joy and happiness once that God has saved us is serving the Lord through one of his local churches. Amen. I want to thank you for your attention. I guess I asked Brother Dan and Sister Linda to come forth and give us invitation. If any way, or if there's one here that's been saved, you need to follow the Lord in baptism, we invite you to come. One here needs to join by church letter, if we can accept it, we invite you to come. If there's one here that needs to come forth that has been saved and never professed Christ before men, we invite you, whatever be your pleasure. 398.
When we walk